This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 152. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Lobo has a brewski with the enemy, talking animals turn dark, Barry's in hot pursuit, the young Bruce and Clark Chronicles, and Steph's new ride, plus America's fastest growing new game show. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, April 17th, 2011. I'm Mindy, and there is no Mark this week. Just as a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs. You can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review. You can email us at sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Now, our contest is still on. You can enter by going to sfpodcastnetwork.com and answering the question of the week on the discussion board. You can visit the Facebook page and hit the like button. You can follow us on Twitter, do all three, and triple your chances to win. There are numerous prizes that you can win, which are all listed on our website, where you can see photos. And all our prizes are from our good friends at Pack Rat Comics. And now a word about Pack Rat Comics.
As Announcer Bot says every week, I've been collecting comics for over 20 years, so I've been through quite a number of comic book dealers, and no one matches the quality and value of Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. Jamie and Teresa have your favorite comics in stock, along with action figures, statues, toys, and all kinds of comic collectibles, along with a huge lower level filled with long boxes of older titles at great prices. If you want a regular pull account, you can't beat Pack Rat's discounts. The more you buy, the greater your savings. Pack Rat is well-organized, clean, and welcoming to new customers. They also hold regular events and community outreach, including a mini-convention for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. So check them out on the web at packratcomics.com or call 614-527-8450 or just drop by. They're at 3864 Latimer Street in Hilliard, Ohio, open 7 days a week. I trust Pack Rat for my weekly comic book order, and so should you. Back to you, Mindy.
Again, to enter the contest, you can visit sfpodcastnetwork.com and answer the question of the week on the discussion board. You can visit the Facebook page and hit the like button. You can follow us on Twitter. Do all three and triple your chances to win. Well, in case you're wondering, I did not murder Mark. In fact, Mark is sitting right here beside me, but he's not contributing this week because he has strep throat, and we do not want to listen to his coughing and throat clearing through the whole episode. Yes, sometimes you'll hear Mark's bell. One beep means yes, two beeps mean no. I didn't think that up, folks. So this week, the only opinion about comic books that matters is mine because Mark can't contribute. So I picked out the issues I wanted to talk about and wrote down a few thoughts. We're not going to have as much as we normally have, mainly because I guess I don't have as many comic book thoughts as Mark does. But the first comic I wanted to talk about is Rebels. It's issue 27 by Tony Bedard and penciled by Claude St. Aubin and inked by Scott Hanna. To me, this was a very busy issue. There was a lot of different threads to the storyline going on. You had Lobo in one, you had Dox and Tribulus and all these people doing different things. It just was very busy and it didn't seem to have much transition between them. And, you know, I'm not a big Lobo fan anyway. But I have to say, even though I have skipped entire books about Lobo, and even just not even read books I love when Lobo's in them, I don't mind Lobo in this story. It seems like it's not quite so bad. So he was fighting one of the Starro guys, and they're beating up each other and saying, oh, I killed all these people, and I killed all these people, and their fight takes them through a wall into a bar and they sit down and have a drink together. And that was just really a perfect story for that. It really was. I was not turned off by Lobo in this instance. And in fact, that was probably my favorite part of the story over everything having to do with everybody else. I'm a little bit over Starro, too. I think we've seen way too much Starro in recent years. I wanted to talk about The Unwritten by Mike Carey and Peter Gross, which continues to be one of the best comics out right now. It's a Vertigo comic, so we would expect to have something a little bit different from it. And this was issue 24, so this would be 2 years into it. And it seems like about every 6 issues or so, they have a story that's not related to the main storyline. And this, in fact, was a follow-up on issue number 12, which, if you remember it, was sort of a Beatrix Potter-type story with Polly, who was thrust into the story and sort of became an anthropomorphic bunny in the story. All around him, other animals, who we assume were people at one point in time but have forgotten that, are trying to convince him that he's Mr. Bun. Well, now he's left that world and he's sort of thrust into this world full of all these other anthropomorphic animals who are all making their way up this huge stairway to a promised land. And true to form, Polly tricks them all so that he's leading the group. He ditches most of them, leads them into a huge battle where a lot of them are killed, and then escapes through a magic hat when things go bad. So I assume that probably in 12 more issues we'll see where he went to, but it was really an excellent storyline, and it really makes one want to keep reading to see how this is going to tie in with the main storyline, which I assume it will at some point in time. The next book I wanted to talk about was The Flash, written, of course, by Geoff Johns, and the artist is Francis Monopoul, and it is On the Road to Flashpoint. I am amazed at all the extra Flashpoint titles that are going to be coming out, and I can't believe that anybody is really going to read them all, especially if the story continues to be sort of like this one was, which was a little boring. I mean, there wasn't really much to this story. You have more of Hot Pursuit. You find out that, you know, this is Barry from a different timeline or another world. We're not really sure which, but not a very nice Barry. He has a bike that uses the Speed Force. We're not quite sure how. And he steals the Speed Force from Barry. Meanwhile, Barry is still continuing to avoid his family, including Bart. And we see a couple more aged corpses, and we don't know what's causing it. I was not impressed with the story. However, I have to say that I was really impressed by some of the artwork. If you looked at the book, and while Barry was the Flash, it was all these backgrounds of washed out orange and yellow, and the colors were bright, and the Speed Force was all over the place, and it was just really, really that orange and yellow tone that's associated with the Flash. And then when he goes back to being Barry Allen, scientist, it's a really pretty kind of washed out, muted colors without any orange and yellows at all. And I thought that was really, really nicely done. Next, I wanted to talk about Superman, and that's by Straczynski, Robertson, and Barrows. And I'm not really sure how much Straczynski is currently having to do with it. I think the storyline is getting much better than it was when he was actually writing the grounded storyline. And in this, we see sort of two stories. Bruce comes to see Superman on his trek across the country. It's the first time that they've really talked since Bruce came back. They start having a little flashback recall of when Bruce first met Clark. I'm going to skip over that entirely and just talk about the fact that they had a wonderful conversation in the present day. They talked about how Bruce thought Clark was going through a grieving process, and this was why he was having so many problems. And he knew because he'd been through that. He and Dick had both been through that, and they recognized it, and they wanted to try to help him and realize that, you know, he wouldn't get over it, but he could learn to live with it. I had a little problem with the artwork, especially at the end. I thought that both Clark and Bruce were drawn so that their chests looked really huge, but at certain angles, it almost looked like Bruce had this big beer belly on him. That last picture of him, it really looked like he was very, very fat rather than muscular. May have been the angle they were drawing it from and the shadows because of the black uniform, but I didn't like it very much. And I really wish that we would quit adding backstory to characters. I don't think we needed this backstory at all. I think it was just, let's fill in something here, and I didn't like it. On to Batgirl by Brian Q. Miller and Ramon Box. Batgirl is my favorite Bat title. Maybe Gotham City Sirens, I don't know. But Batgirl is very, very good. In this issue, she gets lots of new toys, a new car, and these batarangs that you can combine things together in. So you can have an electromagnetic goopy batarang. I love this. Stephanie did too. She was very excited by it. It's nice to see somebody get excited by things in comic books. But my main question with this one, Barbara and Oracle. As we know, Oracle was killed off in Birds of Prey. Everybody is supposed to think that Oracle is dead. Everybody, including all the heroes other than the Bat Family and the Birds of Prey, are not supposed to know that Oracle is still alive. But Barbara Gordon is still teaching at Gotham U. Now, I know that there were heroes other than the Bat Family that knew that Barbara Gordon was Oracle. So those heroes will still know that Barbara is Oracle is alive. So I'm not quite sure what faking her death did, because nobody, even a superhero, can keep a secret. Nobody can. I think we've seen that before in comic books. Other than that point, though, I did want to say that there was excellent continuity with this book with Birds of Prey. One of the things that happened was Barbara had a cold in Birds of Prey, and then over here she's blowing her nose. It's little things like that that, you know, when they can do the little things that make the continuity work, why can't they do the bigger things? It just doesn't seem to make sense. So that's about all I had to say about comic books this week. And now it's going to be time to play America's fastest growing new game show, Who's on the Cover of Entertainment Weekly? Because of Mark's talking problem, we're going to attempt to do this with me not knowing who's on the cover and trying to guess, and Mark beeping once for yes and twice for no when I ask questions. So are you ready, Mark? Okay, so whenever you're ready, and we're starting. Okay, Mark, is it TV related? It's not. Is it movie related? Is it a movie just coming out? No, it's a movie that's been out. Is it more than one movie? Is it superhero movies? Is it superhero movies for the summer? I think two is no, wasn't it? So it's not superheroes at all. Oh, I forgot my bells. I'm sorry. If I don't get it right, how are you going to tell me who it was? Oh, well. Is it more than one person on the cover? It's one person on the cover. Is it a man? Is it a man over 40? Is it a man under 30? Is it Harry Potter? Oh, did I win? I won! Oh, it's a summer movie preview issue, and of course Harry Potter's on the cover. Okay, well that was fun. I like being the one who knows better than being the one who doesn't know. All right, so we are having our contest. And the winner this week is Mike Zuber, who wins the X Factor number 205 Heroic Age variant cover. So, Mike, get in contact with us and let us know where you'd like that sent. And in the meantime, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs. You can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review. You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us on facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. I'm Mindy, and for Mark and I, we say goodbye.